There are major changes coming to how sex education is delivered in Irish schools, not before time. With me now is a man who has looked into it more than most. Richie Sadlier, Let's Talk About Sex, airs at 10.15 on RTE2 on Thursday, September 7th, which is tomorrow night, with the full two-part series streaming after on the RTE Player. Richie joins me in studio. How are you?
I'm great.
It's great to see you. And I love the stuff you've been doing about this. It is really brilliant. So I'm really looking forward to chatting to you about this.
Thanks. It came about actually about 4 years ago. I got an email from the production company. I'd never fronted a documentary before.
Yeah.
I'd never gone into something like this or been involved in a project as big as this. And they, at the time, the government had said, we're going to review with a view to reforming the education curriculum regarding RSE, relationships and sexuality education in the country. And they approached me and said, would you be interested in having a deep dive into this? Go around, speak to politicians and legislators and parents of teenagers and third level students and everyone involved, and because it's not the kind of topic that you can come up with a snappy one line answer that everyone will agree with.
No, that's true.
Consensus doesn't really exist in a topic like this.
Yeah.
It depends who you speak to and where people are coming from.
Yeah.
But the really exciting bit for me was that they asked me to go in and just do the work I do with teenagers in classrooms, but do it in front of cameras.
Yeah.
which sound like a really ambitious thing at the start, because anyone who's had any kind of conversations with young people knows that you're not going to get anything from them unless they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
They're just not.
They're
going to clam up and they'll fold their arms and cross their legs and look at the ground and avoid eye contact, and you get nowhere. So what we were aiming to do, we knew, was very ambitious. But we're kind of delighted with how the whole thing went.
I'm so looking forward to seeing the full two parts, because the schools are back already. Which is bizarre, but the weather is too gorgeous for that. But what do we know about the new syllabus, and when is that going to be confirmed?
Well, the way in which they decided to do it was that they would roll out a new curriculum for the junior cycle first.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the junior cert age groups. And then they would follow that with then the leaving cert age groups and then primary schools.
Yeah.
So we were led to believe that around about now, around about this month or sometime soon, that we will get specific information on what that curriculum will look like.
Yeah.
Now, that's only part of the story. What's really going to be interesting is, for me anyway, I'll be looking really closely on what level of thought and detail is gone into how they will support teachers to roll it out.
Yeah.
And what will that look like? What kind of specific training will be available? What ongoing support will there be there? What resources will be provided? Because this isn't like doing maths or geography. There's lots of kind of issues that require a good bit of thought into the words you use, the phrases, how you'd bring them up, how you might deal with what you'd hear in the classroom. So this isn't a scenario where we can expect the Department of Education to roll out something by email and say to teachers, on you go.
Yeah.
Teachers need more.
They need the training. So can I ask you first, right, how surprised were you about the lack of training that teachers have at the moment?
I suppose I wasn't surprised. I have a lot of friends who are teachers.
Yeah, so do I.
And I have a lot of friends. Like when I used to be in a school doing this regularly, like I would always, the teachers would kind of go, oh my God, much rather you than me. I'd never be able to do condom demonstrations with students or talk about consent or have debates about porn or this other stuff. So I kind of was aware of what's out there.
Mm.
Now, I've some mates of mine, they do brilliant work in this area.
Mm.
But it's kind of, they're almost doing like as a solo run within the school.
Yeah.
That the school has said, go on, you do that. So what we're aiming for ideally is a scenario where there's some kind of central guidance here.
Yeah.
That all schools are given the same information and teachers are given the same level of support. Ultimately with the aim that all young people have access to the same education right across the country.
What are your, do you have concerns about the ethos behind the new syllabus and how that's going to work?
So in the situation at the moment is that there is a curriculum.
Yeah.
And there's a line at the bottom of it which says that the schools have the right to deliver the curriculum in line with the ethos or individual characteristic spirit of the school.
Okay.
Which is a lovely sounding phrase.
It is.
It's lovely and it's really hard to object to.
Yeah.
In reality, what that means is, for example, a school which has a Catholic ethos can decide that if certain topics are a bit of an affront to their Catholic ethos, or a teacher maybe has deeply religious beliefs, they can decide that actually our students won't get access to this information because it's not in line with how we see the world of relationships.
Okay.
So you're tiptoeing into topics like, well, so same-sex relationships.
Exactly.
How is that going to be introduced and discussed and explored?
Yes.
In a school which maybe has kind of some reluctance or complicated beliefs around that. Or things like birth control measures.
Yes.
Things like consent or how do you discuss kind of sexual encounters inside or outside marriage? And so you're getting into really meaty, interesting stuff.
Yeah, really
interesting. So it's a lovely phrase to say, let schools teach students in line with their ethos and parents should have a right to send their children to schools which are in line with their own set of values and ethos. But we need to be really careful that we don't create a scenario, which I think exists at the moment, where we give schools the right to pick and choose what information they give to young people, because young people now are living in a particular age.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different from when we were 15.
Yeah.
For loads of reasons.
Yeah.
Like the approaches need to be different too.
It does, that phrasing, it does seem to leave a lot of doors ajar. Yeah, that might cause some problems later on. I want to talk to you about the students for a second, because they're just brilliant and they're so honest and open. They're talking to each other and they're talking to you and they're talking in front of a TV camera as well about really personal stuff. Are they hungry for good information?
They were absolutely dying for guidance and education.
Yeah.
And I get this everywhere.
Yeah.
Like that bit wasn't a surprise to me, because... like, I understand the reluctance that many of us adults have.
Yeah.
Because it's tricky. You don't know exactly what to say. You're
afraid
of saying too much.
Sometimes. Yeah.
And some kids in the room will be able for certain topics and others aren't at the stage where they are. So, and they all have parents at home who might have different views on what should and shouldn't be said. So lots of reasons that adults would wonder, how the hell do I tiptoe into this conversation? But the teenagers, when you create a scenario in a room where you keep the awkwardness and the embarrassment or the judgment or the shame, all the stuff that we all associate with our own upbringing or education in this area in classrooms.
Absolutely.
If you keep all that out of the room and you just create an environment where everyone just thinks, like, this is a normal and healthy part of any young person's development. It's an area of their life which could potentially be really positive and enriching and joyful and pleasurable and amazing. Can also be fraught with difficulty
and
risk as well. And then let's just talk about all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I started off the workshops. I did a series of workshops with a transition year group. They came from two schools next to each other in Maynooth. So there's male and female students.
Mm.
And I started it off by saying, like, what do ye want covered?
Yeah.
Like, teenagers, they have enough people in their life telling them what they should
what
and shouldn't
should
do. So it's like you give them a voice and go, what do you want to learn?
Mm.
And then I think when you hear the answers that they give, it kind of really pushes back against any of those voices that say teenagers aren't ready for these conversations, or they don't understand the terms or the issues.
Yeah.
They all have phones.
Mm-hmm.
They all have access to information that no previous generation of teens had.
Yeah.
So they all know the terms. They all know what they mean. But they need a load of support with teasing out what to do with the information they have in their heads.
Definitely. Stick on your headphones there for 2 seconds if you have them in front of you, because I have a short clip, right? I have a short clip of one of the students you spoke to here. So I just want to know how you would explain to a parent listening now the impact that porn has on kids and teenagers today. It's a really short clip here.
Do you know, none of us are even the age of consent and we have to deal with stuff like this. It's not right.
So this is, like you said, everybody has a phone. And so we were talking about it yesterday, you know, it's younger and younger, you know, you got phones and you have access to all of this information. What do you say to a parent listening about the impact that porn will have on their kids?
Well, I suppose, first of all, go back if you can to being a child. And there's a stage of your childhood where all of a sudden you'll realise there's such a thing as sex.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of your life in the early period of your life where you were blissfully unaware.
Mm.
But it's a sign of normal and healthy development that towards the end of your childhood or early adolescence that you become aware of this mm-hmm. and you're curious to learn more, you're excited by it and yeah. you start to experience arousal.
Yeah.
That's a sign of healthy development. Mm-hmm. So kind of remove all the language around, oh, I'm worried that they like it. I'm
yes.
concerned that they did a Google search for it, or he or she is a problem because they seem to keep asking questions or like this.
Mm.
So that's one thing to say, but Their minds at that age are too young to process the footage that the online porn industry is going to provide
yes.
on their phones.
Yes.
And I asked a lot of the students in an anonymous questionnaire in the documentary, we worked with them, like, what was it like when you first saw it? What were the conditions that you first saw it? How did you feel? And then really importantly, what adults did you speak to about it afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to the last question was nobody.
None. Yeah.
From them all.
Yeah, of course.
They're all disgusted, confused, weirded out, a bit freaked out.
Yeah.
And didn't voice it to the adults around them.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be lovely if we got to a scenario, like the name of the documentary, just Let's Talk,
yeah.
where children felt that they could talk about this stuff
yeah.
to the concerned adult, to the trusted adult, to the parent in their life, and that they would just be met with a comfortable, considerate, helpful, supportive, reasonable response, rather than I think what we kind of tend to do, particularly when it's young people, we're fearful,
yeah,
and we're kind of very wary, and all we think is the bad stuff,
yeah,
and we think it's a danger.
It's huge amount of shame
in
it as well. Huge amount of shame,
and the more shame there is, the less people talk, and the less
completely.
People talk, they're left with the voices in their head.
The less
and
people talk, the more shame there is.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
It's this really vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'd be great to break that.
How important is it that we kind of said it there? We kind of have to teach people. Or teach young people about sex instead of letting porn and be what you call a horrendous teacher.
That's the key thing, and I think, like, it's worth saying, porn can provide it can be a positive part of lots of people's sex lives, or couple sex lives, mm-hmm. or people's what they do in their personal lives. It can be really enriching and positive and satisfying and pleasurable.
Yeah,
I think when you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
And you're exposed to porn, it's the only place you're going to see sex.
Yeah.
And if most children's lives don't involve conversations with adults about what sex entails
yeah.
or what it should or can feel and be like. So in the absence of conversations with kids, and kids anything from 8 to 15 or whatever, we're kind of letting porn do the teaching.
Yeah.
So if a kid goes, well, I'm a boy, and let's say I'm a boy who likes girls. How should I behave? All right, I'll learn from watching all this footage.
Yeah.
And like, so there's a lot of stuff. Obviously, it depends on what kind of footage you're watching.
Yeah.
But it's there's a lot of stuff which is really commonplace and normal to be on the phones of young people on a daily
yeah.
basis.
Yeah.
And in the absence of any conversations with adults, we're leaving the porn industry to influence young people about what their future behaviour should entail.
And that's
a failing on us.
Oh,
that's not
absolutely.
A failing on them.
No.
You couldn't blame a kid going, well, okay, 100%, for argument's sake, 70, 80, 90% of the footage I'm seeing involves male aggression against women.
Absolutely.
And the women appear to be okay with it. In some cases, they're encouraging it.
Yes.
They're maybe excited by it. They're asking for more of it.
Yeah.
The little boy will then go, well, I know what is expected of me.
I know the basics.
And
yeah.
little girls look at it and go, okay, that's what I need to do to
prove. Yeah.
Look, if
that's what I need to look like,
yes.
that's what I need to sound like. That's
yes.
yeah, absolutely.
So it's to kind of interrupt that learning process
yeah.
by conversation.
It's a lot of media literacy in it as well, isn't there? Like, it's kind of just being getting this onslaught of information and just not knowing what to do with and how to process it.
Yeah, like we. Adults, we all have that because we all have a phone
oh, yeah.
and we're all bombarded with stuff depending on what apps we're in, and we have to tease out what's worth kind of drowning out and what's worth taking
totally.
On board. But when you're a kid
yeah.
and you're thirsty for knowledge, like mm-hmm. you asked earlier, like, am mm-hmm. I surprised at how much they wanted to know?
Mm.
No. Like,
yeah.
it's the easiest gig in the world to get teenagers interested in sex.
Yeah. yeah
it's no work involved.
Absolutely.
It's they all want to know, they all want to be up to speed with what the people their age know.
Yeah.
They all want to be ready for whatever their next experiences are. They want to be, for the want of a better phrase, they want to be good at
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like they are with every other thing they do for the first
course.
Time. So they're looking to porn for guidance because there's an absence of any other type of guidance.
The viewers, I think, will be surprised that by the pressure that kids are, and teenagers especially, are putting on each other to send nudes, nude pictures of themselves. How can schools help with that?
I think it's to not avoid it. To not pretend that it's not happening.
Yeah.
So one of the schools I worked with, they bring in the Gardaí to talk about the legal aspects of having material on your phone, particularly phone which involves somebody who may be under the age of 18, that's children. So there's a legal conversation to be had. But I think also to young people as well, again, and you can do this in... And we touched on this and its features in the documentary to facilitate discussions about, and you can do this really well, like you put out hypothetical scenarios to teenagers and ask them to discuss what would they do if they were person A or person B.
Yeah.
And you get the room then to appreciate that the decision that's about to be taken by person A or person B can go in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to recreate the real life scenarios that they may be experiencing on their own, which they're way too young and too embarrassed to talk about openly. But you kind of present this as like, this is behaviour. This is, we've all decided the kids all have a phone. Mm-hmm. Every phone is a camera. They can all send footage of themselves to whoever they like instantly. Yeah. So that's the world. So we have to help them navigate that world responsibly.
Yeah.
So you tell them about, like... It's quite common in my therapy practice that I get an email from a parent and the issue is that their teenager was exchanging photos with someone online and when in 24 hours a blackmail email came in
because
the person wasn't the person they thought.
Yeah.
And it's just to kind of help them appreciate that the world they're in is not the world me and you grew up in. Again, we have to keep going back to that.
That's it.
They've still got the minds of children.
Yeah.
And all the hormonal kind of chaotic turbulence that goes on in adolescence.
Yeah.
And then in the moments when, like, adolescent sexuality is quite overwhelming at times.
Mm-hmm.
You make decisions in the moment which you may not
want
to do if you look back.
Yeah.
So we've got to help them with all those scenarios that they're in rather than lie to ourselves about the world in which they live in and pretend that these conversations actually don't need to happen because the incidents are so small that they don't need to be discussed.
Yeah.
That's a failing of us. So definitely. I think one of the things I hope this documentary achieves is that it helps people who aren't teenagers to understand the world that the teenagers live in.
Can I ask you just finally, the way we talk about gender, adults that talk about gender has changed so much and in quite a short space of time, and you know, people struggle with that, and it's a real struggle
for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And even with the absolute best of intentions and in all good faith, it can still be a struggle. How would you hope that the education system can address those issues like that are so complex and kind of developing, like they're very fluid?
I remember when I first started to speak in schools, we do workshops on gender, and it'd be, they almost feel like from a different time now. I go in and ask the boys, you know, what do you think's expected of you because you're boys?
Yeah.
And I ask the same question of girls, and then we'd have a discussion about gender stereotypes, where do they come from, do they work for any of us, are they holding us back in any area, and what would it be like if we ignored them all and we were just ourselves?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That conversation now seems like it's so innocent and quaint and just doesn't belong. So now, because there's a lot of new terminology, there's a lot of new phrasing, and like you said, I think it's a struggle for a lot of people to know how do I enter into a conversation about these areas without inadvertently offending or insulting somebody.
Yeah.
And then the question then is, in relation to a classroom, what specific guidance are we going to give to teachers?
Yeah.
Because we've spoke to teachers in this documentary, and a lot of them said in the range of different topics, not just gender, they feel a little bit vulnerable in a classroom in the absence of specific guidance from a comprehensive curriculum. If certain questions or topics are asked in the classroom, they're unsure whether they should or can answer it because they don't have the protection of the curriculum.
Yes.
So they have to say, sorry, guys, this isn't on the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they really want to talk about it.
That's doing them a disservice.
And the students then are really deflated and disappointed because they've just been met with they've asked a question and their teacher.
Brick walls.
Brick wall.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, right. So everyone's dissatisfied with that. So I think what we were hoping for now in this, it rather than the vague language about let's be respectful, let's be inclusive.
Yes.
Give teachers specific guidance about the terms and the phrases and the way in which gender can be broached in topics in classrooms. Because when we have that, then we can proceed and have meaningful discussions about it. But you've got to help the teachers.
Richie, it's a pleasure to talk to you. It really is. And I really appreciate you coming in. It could really change so much if we could get it right and kind of at least get on the path to getting it right at a school level. Richie Sadlier, Let's Talk About Sex. It's on at 10:15 on RT2 tomorrow, Thursday, September 7th, with the full two-part series streaming after on the RT Player. Richie, really appreciate it. Thanks a million. 2 FM.